You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So we want to share with you a message this morning, mercy for your marriage. Amen. And if you're single, you can also listen because the principles you'll be able to apply in your life, in relationship, in friendships, even in the workplace, you can apply these principles. Amen.
Amen. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
By the grace of God. Amen.
So I want to start by saying that God is the one that made marriage. And because God is involved, there's always hope for marriage. Amen. I know a lot of people have gone through disappointments and even gone through a divorce. But just because you've gone through that doesn't mean God won't give you a second chance. Amen.
Amen.
Am I talking to the right people here?
Amen.
We all face challenges in relationships, but we need the Word of God to be the standard to help us so that we can do it better. Amen. So no guilt, no condemnation, just hope in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can I start by talking to the men quickly? Is that okay? The head of the homes, the priests and the kings. Can I start? Listen to what the Bible says. Genesis 2 verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, and he shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Can I start by saying that the responsibility of marriage rests largely upon the man's shoulders? Gentlemen, can I have one amen?
Amen.
It says, he is to leave his mother and his father. There's some action involved here. To leave his mother and his father. Number two, the responsibility for keeping the union together is on the man's shoulders. He is to be joined to his wife. God will give you wisdom to protect the unity. Amen. And then this union is everlasting. They shall become one flesh. So this is what the Word of God says, and we have to hold on to that scripture, knowing that that Word is working in us and with us and through us, and that God will help us. So are you ready? Turn to the person next to you, say, there's hope.
There's hope.
Say, there's hope.
There's hope.
Because God is involved.
Because God is involved.
Amen.
Amen. You know, marriage isn't a contract.
That's right.
It's a covenant.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a covenant. And we want to use the Ark this morning, the Ark of the Covenant, to help us understand the relationship between God and man, between husband and wife. Amen. So we're going to put the picture of the Ark of the Covenant on the screen. And just a little bit of background before we start. The design of the Ark didn't come from a human being.
That's right.
Amen. Can we establish that? The design of the Ark came directly from God. Right? So the Ark of the Covenant was actually a portable throne room. It was like a God box. In Exodus 25, it says, you shall put the mercy seat on top of the Ark, and in the Ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you, and there I will meet with you. So God said to Moses, after they had left Egypt, they were entering the wilderness. You know, God actually wanted first a relationship with man.
That's
but
right.
Man was not ready for God to come down when they were around Mount Sinai. Do you remember that? So he said, let's put together a place where my presence can dwell, because I want to dwell with my people. So God gave Moses instruction, and the Ark of the Covenant was made. It was made from acacia wood and then covered in gold. What does that tell us? Acacia wood is us as man.
That's
and
right.
The presence of God is the gold. So from the beginning, God has said that you as man can be covered with my presence. This is possible. Amen?
Amen.
This is possible. Amen. So the Ark was made of acacia wood covered in gold, and like God is covering man. And then the mercy seat.
Amen.
They said, let's make a solid gold covering and put it on top of it. This wasn't just a lid. This was a place where Israel met with God. Because on either side of this ark were two cherubims. You can see that on the screen, amen? And you'll see their wings were reaching out towards each other and touching each other. But as they looked down, their faces actually were facing the mercy seat. And what happens on the mercy seat?
I think that's the place where God speaks to us. Amen? And I want to say this to men, where I read Genesis, where he says the responsibility to protect the union rests on the man's shoulders. But if you look at those two angels, they are facing each other with their wings touching. If my wife had to reach her hand, she's my angel, amen? She's actually more beautiful than an angel, amen? But can you see here, if they can just touch, they can just touch, there's unity. There's unity. And that's the hope. Where they touch and they meet there at that mercy seat, there's mercy. When we can get into God's presence, there's mercy. And when we speak to each other, we speak through mercy. When we include God, there is mercy. Amen? Mercy is not something God has, but something God is.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Church, we need mercy for our marriages. We need mercy for our relationships.
That's right.
We need the grace and mercy of God to make this work. Amen.
So, what did the ark represent? The ark represented God in the midst of his people. So what does the ark represent here? He is in our marriage. And when we include God in our marriage, in this covenant, there can be grace, there can be mercy. There's always hope. Amen? The ark, number one, is holy. It was placed in the Holy of Holies. Marriage is holy. And when we look at marriage, I just got it now. No. This is holy because God is involved. When God created everything, he said it was good. He said it was good. But the seventh day, he said it was holy because it belonged to him, the day he rested upon. He says marriage is holy because God is involved. It's like the tithe. It's holy. You are a holy people. So what was above the mercy seat? The two angels. Wings touching. And oftentimes when we have disagreements, you know, a pastor and his wife can also have a disagreement. And when there's a disagreement, there's usually not unity because we disagree. Not rocket science. We disagree because you're a free moral agent and you've got your own opinion and your own views about things. But it's never who's right and who's wrong. Am I right and she's wrong? It's about, can we find that place to say, okay, let's have mercy. Let's come in unity and let's make the Word of God the standard. What does God say about it? It's not a picture of man is on his own and woman is on her own. It's a picture in that Ark of the Covenant where they are touching. Turn to the person next to you, say, we are connected.
We are connected.
So this is even in friendships, this is in relationships, this is when it comes to family. Where there is mercy, there's unity. When there's not mercy, there's no unity. Mercy is withholding what we deserve. Can I say that again? Mercy, God's mercy towards us is him withholding judgment, punishment, guilt, condemnation, withholding it from us while we deserve it. Mercy seat is all about reaching up, touching the heart of God so that God can reach in and touch our hearts. Amen.
You know, church, many times in marriages, it can look like it's the end of the world. There's times where you can really have a disagreement which can pull you apart.
That's right.
But if you apply God's word and you reach out towards each other and you put your head down towards the mercy seat, everything changes. It's when we look at each other and we judge each other and we are harsh on each other that the mercy cannot speak for us.
It's not us grabbing each other like this and staring each other down. Have you ever had a stare down with your spouse? Only pastors write those stairs, so you don't have to worry. Amen. But it's not about me staring. Those two angels, They didn't stare each other down. What did they do?
They looked down at the mercy seat.
They looked down at the mercy seat. And when we look down at mercy, we can speak from a place of mercy. But when I look at her, and let me just tell you, you know, I'm Afrikaans, she's English. I'm from Pretoria, she's from Bloemfontein. You know, Afrikaans, Pretoria, people from Pretoria that speak Afrikaans, we even have our own accent. That's how Afrikaans we are. English Free State people, they can just upset you.
And there's a bit of Italian in as well, so I'm pretty spicy.
So it's a boerewors pizza.
With a lot of Tabasco sauce.
Yes. And the chili comes from both sides, amen? But you need to show mercy because you need mercy. Mm-hmm. What is inside the ark? It's the law, the word of God. It's the manna, the bread, who is Jesus. And Jesus says you cannot live of bread alone. And then it's the rod of Aaron that's flowering. Amen?
Amen. So
it represents Jesus, number one. Jesus, that is our authority, the rod. Jesus, the bread, the word of God, that's the standard. And also Jesus that brings life into our lives. So when you look beyond the mercy seat, or you're looking down at the mercy seat, what is inside there? It's Jesus guiding us. It's Jesus, the bread of life. It's Jesus that gives us authority so that we can be who we have to be. When we make God's word the standard, looking at the mercy seat, what He has done for us, hearing Him speak to us, our behavior will change. When we're aware of God's presence, even when we have a disagreement, when I'm aware of God's presence, my speech is different. But when I'm not aware of Jesus' presence above the mercy seat, then I say, I'm going to sort you out.
Amen. God's presence never leaves. He's not there at 8 a.m. and He leaves at 2. Then He leaves you alone in your covenant relationship. Amen. He's there the whole time. And the beautiful thing in a relationship that is based on the Word of God is that God is always between us.
Amen.
God is always between us. The angels were looking at each other, but their eyes were towards the mercy seat. In a relationship, look towards the mercy seat. Amen. Amen. We were born into this world with a sinful, ugly nature.
That's right.
Amen. Do you agree with me? So there's going to be times when I scratch Him and He scratches me. That's why we need to keep our eyes on the mercy seat, because without the mercy seat, we can hurt each other. Amen.
Amen.
Exodus 25 says, and the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be towards the mercy seat.
Amen. I think when we look towards mercy, we're looking towards Jesus. We're getting Jesus' opinion about our spouse and not running with what we feel when they become a little bit scratchy. And men can also be scratchy. Amen. Let's just be honest. We can also be scratchy.
Never. Amen. My husband is never scratchy. Amen. Just for the record, he's amazing and he's just incredible. But you know what? When we have these glasses on, life changes. But the problem with us are sometimes we put the glasses on and sometimes we take them off. So today we want to put them on and see our husbands, our spouses, as the best things since popcorn. And tomorrow Amen. We take off our glasses and we start seeing all their faults. And let me tell you something, church. Perfection only belongs to God.
That's right.
Can I change your will today? You are not going to have a perfect husband and you are never going to be a perfect wife. But you're going to try your best.
I'm the only one who's got a perfect wife. Amen.
You're going to try your best and you're going to give your best. But you're going to have to hold on to Jesus every single day. Because the enemy doesn't sleep. He can't wait to destroy your unity. He can't wait to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't wait to break relationship. Because when you break relationship, you are breaking a moment where the two of you can look at the mercy seat and honor God and honor the work of the cross. Because on the mercy seat, blood was sprinkled. You know that?
Amen.
Blood was sprinkled over and over and over again to atone for the sins of the Israelites. And you know what? We need the blood of Jesus between us to be sprinkled, not once, not twice, over and over again. Church, do you hear what I'm saying this morning? There is an enemy out to destroy your relationship. And you know what? You give him legal right by taking your eyes off the mercy seat. Because without mercy, there is no relationship. Amen?
That's right. God is not on the side of the husband, and he's not on the side of the wife. God chooses grace rather than work, so that no man should boast, but give all the glory to God. When our focus is on the mercy seat, I can respond from mercy. But when I take my eyes off the mercy seat, then I start looking at the situation, the circumstances, the expectations that I have. Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations that we place upon our wives. To have a job, look after the children, make food, clean the house, do all those things, and then you still need attention as well. Am I talking to the right people here? We should have mercy. The Bible warns us. Gentlemen, listen to me. You know what the Bible says? He warns us with all these expectations that we have. An unfulfilled expectation can lead to offense. And when you place unrealistic expectations on your wife and you become offended, you know what's going to happen? You're going to respond to her in a harsh way. Listen to what the Bible says in Colossians 3 verse 19. Paul warns them and he says, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Does he say sometimes? Does he say when they upset you? He says, never treat them harshly. Never, ever, ever. Blessed is the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Amen.
Amen. And wives, can I say the same thing? Don't treat your husbands harshly. Amen. And he is not your girlfriend.
Girls, that's right,
talk all the time. Girls communicate all the time. At a stage, I was so offended with my husband because he's not hearing, he's not talking to me. But men are wired differently, amen? And we're now wired in a way that God wants them to be wired. And we need to accept that he's not my girlfriend. Yes, he's my friend. But he can be the very best version of himself without being like my girlfriend is. Amen? If you take that expectation off him to be your BFF, your GF, whatever, it's going to change. Because men are not wired like women. Our worlds are going ding, 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 ding. And their worlds are going ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Don't get offended, guys. You know, let me just say this. Sometimes when I've counseled the whole day, my words are up. When I get home, I'm beyond empty, and then my wife wants to speak, and I'm just say, Lord, thank you that your mercies are new every day. Fill me with words that we can have a conversation. And she's talking long sentences, and I'm just going to the punchline. Yes, no, great. Have mercy with us, amen. Have mercy with us. Can I just say this, gentlemen? How would you like it if God treated you the way you treat your wife? Or if God spoke to you the way you speak to your wife? Because remember, Jesus says in the book of Galatians, he compares the body of Christ and the relationship between Jesus to a husband and a wife. So the way that Jesus responds to the church is the way that the husband should respond to his wife. And in the same way the church speaks to Jesus is the way a wife should speak to a husband. Amen. So it helps us when it comes to that.
You know, when we need grace, we need to run to the mercy seat. Amen. When we need answers, ladies, we need to run to the mercy seat. Not jump on the telephone and phone someone. We run to the mercy seat because at the mercy seat, God can remind us who he's made him to be. And amen. God can remind you how you should be. And you know, many times when I've run to God and said, Lord, can we speak about him? God says, let's talk about you.
That's amen? True. That's true.
Amen.
Many times when I've gone, you know, especially when we were married, young married couple, I would often go to God because, you know, I'm a son of God. I would say, God, I'm your son. Did you see what this daughter did to me and said? And he would say, she's also my daughter. And I saw what you did and what you say to her as well.
When we look through the mercy seat, we can also value the person. Because when we look through the mercy seat, we see the value that God had placed on that person. Amen? We see the value God placed on that person. And you know what? The best way to move closer towards each other, can I ask for that diagram of the triangle? The best place to move closer towards each other as husband and wife. You on the one side of the triangle, he's on the other side of the triangle. And God is at the top. To move closer to each other, what do you have to do? You have to move closer to God. You want That's a better right. marriage? Get a better relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? You want to move closer to your husband? As the two of you move towards God, you move closer. But can I tell you something, church? When you neglect God, you will move away from each other.
That's right.
Because the only thing that keeps this safe and keeps this thing grounded is the mercy seat. Looking through the cross.
Can I tell you how you move closer to God? Obviously, by praying, we know that. By reading Bible. But also, bring your family to church. Teach them the value of putting God first. First day of the week belongs to God. We put Him first. Gentlemen, can I tell you something? The priest sprinkled blood on that mercy seat. If you want a great marriage, pray the blood of Jesus over your marriage.
Amen.
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 The covenant that was made with Abraham was a covenant where there was animals involved that was split in half, a sacrifice that was made, blood that was flowing. And usually in a covenant, they would go stand in the middle of that sacrifice that was made. You know what that teaches us? In covenant, there are many sacrifices that you will make. Can I have one amen?
Amen.
If you cannot say amen to a sacrifice that you will have to make in a marriage covenant, you're not ready for marriage. Because I'm telling you, there are many sacrifices. A matter of fact, let me give you a heads up. The Bible says in God's presence is where we change. Many times, marriage is a mirror. And she's going to be the mirror that's going to reveal many ugly, nasty, bad attitudes, habits that you have as a husband.
And vice versa.
And the man oftentimes becomes the mirror for the wife as well. See, oh, I have to change in this.
Can I say something? Church, every relationship needs a hero. And the hero is the person who is the one who shows mercy.
That's right.
Every relationship needs a hero. Every situation needs a hero. And the hero in your relationship is the one that shows mercy. The hero in your relationship is the one that can go to God, lay your gift down at the altar, and realize, I need to go make right. Can I tell you something? Sunday morning is the devil's greatest time to make you fight. On your way to church, in the car, something must have gone wrong at home. Somebody didn't do what they should have done. Somebody did something they shouldn't have done. And on the way to church, he attacks. Because he knows in God's presence you become softer. He knows in God's presence your relationship becomes stronger. He knows in God's presence you are drawing close to each other in the mercy seat. So what does he do? He tries to keep you away.
When we harden our hearts is one of the most dangerous things in a relationship. Mm-hmm. When I say, I'm going to sort you out, woman, there's no mercy in that. Let me just see your hand, gentlemen, if it's ever happened to you. Let me see the ladies, if that's ever happened to you. Let me tell you something. We want to include God in our marriages. But the Bible says, be not ignorant of the devil's devices. So what does he want? He wants to cause strife between the two of you. And where there is strife, there is pride. Because strife is rooted in pride. And you know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2? You can go read it from verse 23. It says, a servant of the Lord should not quarrel. So your aim should not be see how much I can fight and sort her out. Let me just tell you something. You know, when I married her, I obviously realized, okay, I married an English lady here. Pastor's daughter. And I looked at this and I thought, God, there's some things that I think will have to change. So I came up with a brilliant strategy. I said to her, we are never going to say, this is me, take it or leave it. We have to be prepared to change, thinking, I'm going to change her. But you know what happens when I got into God's presence? You know who changed the most? Me. God said, you want her to be a better wife? Okay, let's work on you to be better first. Can I have an amen? And if we want to harden our hearts and say, no, I'm not going to change, you must change, then nothing will change. Because when I harden my heart, I'm moving away from God. If you always want to fight with her and sort her out, go read 2 Timothy 2 from 23 to 26. The Bible says we should actually pray that you come to your senses. You're not using common sense if you want to fight the whole time. Can I have one? Aina.
Aina.
You're not including God if you want to fight the whole time. The Bible says if you want to fight the whole time, you've actually surrendered your will to the devil to do his will. Because he's in the fighting business of biting, of devouring, of stealing, killing with our words. You know you can kill, steal, and destroy with your words? Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that, you're a Christian, but you're under the control of the devil. And then that marriage cannot give glory to God because there's no mercy. There's just fighting, fighting, fighting. If you've gone through that, don't live under guilt and condemnation. All sin can be forgiven. Amen. Marriage is a little bit of heaven here on earth. But then you have to include heaven. Amen. You have to seek heaven. You have to go to the mercy seat if you want that.
Amen. Can I just say, don't become a right fighter. Do you know what's a right fighter? I'm always right and you're always wrong. Becoming a right fighter is going to make you take you to a place of pride. It actually shows that you have a problem. And pride will keep the anointing away. Pride will keep the presence of Jesus away.
That's right.
Pride will keep a moment where God can change you away. Because God and pride cannot live together in one space.
That's right.
A successful marriage is a marriage built on humility.
That's right.
A successful marriage is not a marriage built on pride, where I'm always right. You know, it's something that's in my mind when I speak to you, when we communicate. Are you becoming a right fighter? Are you always trying to be the right one? You are saying the right thing. You are the authority. You are the law. And he isn't getting it right. But that is not the word. Amen? The word says that fighting right is to make God's word the standard for your life.
That's right.
And fighting right is not just to forgive each other and let go of your pride. It's to draw close again afterwards. Because many people will say, I forgive you. But they don't draw close. They don't take their wings and touch again.
That's right.
They don't touch again. They say, I forgive you. Let's look at the mercy seat. Hallelujah. But the ark was made, not made with the wings in the air. The ark was made touching. So many say, I forgive you, but I'll just serve God. And God will be there for me. And we will... No, you have to touch, you have to reach out your hand, put your pride in your pocket, and touch each other again. Amen?
Mutual sacrifice, mutual commitment, mutual love, mutual forgiveness. If it's a one-sided thing, it's a parasite relationship. If she's the only one coming and saying, let's make up, show mercy, forgiveness, kindness, it's one-sided, it's parasite. God does not honor it. It must be mutual commitment, mutual sacrifice, mutual mercy. Amen? Covenant is very serious with God. Let me just say this. If you want mercy at that mercy seat, the mercy seat is in a place of holiness. Mm-hmm. Where there's mercy, there's holiness. Can I have one amen?
Amen.
The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. The marriage bed is undefiled. Let me read from the Amplified Bible, Hebrews 13, verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor, esteemed worthy, precious, of great price, and especially dear in all things. And thus let the marriage bed be undefiled, kept undishonored, for God will judge and punish and unchaste, all guilty of sexual vice or sexual immorality, and adulteress. This is New Testament that says, God says here, if you're committing adultery or fornication, It can cost you your life. I'm coming to judge you. Not one amen now.
Amen.
You know, I often say to young people when they come to pray, and I mean, we preach to people every week that are living together. And we want to preach the gospel to you that you will embrace God in every area of your life. But I often say to people when we are praying for people and I've got a couple and they're living together in sin, I say to them, do you love the person enough to go to hell? No. I say, but why are you doing it then? Because you should love God more than the individual. You're playing with your salvation when it comes to adultery, when it comes to fornication. Playing with your salvation. You know, there's three things that they warn you as a pastor when you go to Bible school. They'll warn you, there's three things you have to watch out. Pride, pennies, and petticoats. Or gold, glory, and girls. You know, the name changes, but it's the same problem. Pride. I'm always right. Pennies, money. Because you cannot serve money and God. So money can cost you your salvation. Like a woman can cost you your salvation. And like pride can cost you your salvation. All three are dangerous. So you might have it together in two, but in one there's a problem. You need God's grace. Amen? Listen what Proverbs 6 verse 26 says. Prostitutes reduces a man to poverty and the adulteress steals your soul. She may even cost you your life. It's not that nice. Money is not that nice to cost you your salvation. Adultery, fornication is not that great that it costs you your salvation. The Bible says, what God has joined together, let no man separate it. You want to jump in what God has placed together, you'll find yourself fighting God. So like I said, we're not here to judge people or condemn people. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, all sin can be forgiven. Just run to Jesus, run to the mercy seat. Amen.
Jesus, run to the mercy seat. Can I speak to young people in the house today? Purpose in your heart to present your body as a living sacrifice to God. There's nothing more beautiful than having a born-again, spirit-filled young person who says, I will not step over the line. I will not violate this temple. I will not do anything that is predestined for the marriage bed before I get there. Amen? Can I hear an amen from our youth? Amen? Your destiny is way bigger than that moment. Your position in front of God is much bigger than that beautiful guy with a million-dollar smile. Girls, if he does not honor your body, if he does not honor the mercy seat, he's going to be a horrible husband. Because whatever is great in a relationship escalates when you get engaged, and then it escalates when you get married. Whatever is bad in a relationship escalates when you get engaged, and it escalates when you get married. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when we choose our people, our person, we choose them based on their relationship with Jesus Christ first.
That's right.
Does this man honor me as a young lady? Does he honor my boundaries? Does he honor my body? And if he does not, he is not worthy to come close to your destiny because he needs to get saved.
Amen.
Sorry.
You know, I know sometimes young people, especially at high school, they'll shame you because you're still a virgin. We unshame you today. Amen. Be proud Amen. Of who you are when you Amen. Stand for Jesus. Don't let them come and shame you.
Yes.
I unshame myself. I'm standing for Jesus. This word, this light and this life is shining into my life. Upon all my ways, I'm including him in everything. Even in my relationships, even in my friendships. Amen.
God will honor you when you honor him. God will give you the right person at the right time. And together you will fulfill an incredible destiny. But just like the enemy is out for marriages, young people, the enemies are out for your souls as well. And he doesn't sleep. And he's very patient. He will wait for the right time. So don't take yourself to a place where you have to decide, am I choosing the mercy seat or am I choosing hell? Keep yourself at a place with your eyes down. In humility, looking at the cross, knowing that Jesus holds my future in his hands.
Amen.
And he's not going to drop me. Amen.
Amen. Include God in your marriage. Include God in your friendships. Include God in everything. Be aware of God's presence in everything that you do. Listen to what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
A threefold cord. You, your husband, and God. You, your husband, and God. If you take God and His word and His standards out of the mix, you become weak. Because in your own strength, you cannot do this. I cannot be married to Him successfully without Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ keeps my ugly, sinful nature under control. Amen? The hero is the one who goes to the mercy seat and moves closer to God. Are you the hero in your relationship?
So when she says, be my hero, so won't you choose mercy? Won't you go to the mercy seat, look at the mercy seat, and hear what God is saying about our marriage. Hear what God is saying about our children. Hear what God is saying about our future. Then you become the hero. Amen? Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The New King James says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Most issues that people have are not the things going on out there. It's what's going on the inside here. Can I have one amen?
Amen.
When you treasure your marriage, what does the Bible say? The thing that you treasure, your heart will follow in that direction. So when you treasure your marriage as holy, as sacred, that God has given her to me, my heart will follow in that direction. But if I start treasuring other things, things on cell phones, friends' opinions, your heart will go in that direction and take you away from the one that God has given you. We should all do the heart test every now and then. Amen? What is the heart test? Is my heart still soft towards her? Or is my heart busy getting hard towards my wife? Resentment and unforgiveness and bitterness. When do I keep resentment and unforgiveness and bitterness in my heart? The Bible says I must forgive her. But when I have pride in my heart, I say, I'm not going to forgive you. No. I've told you now 7 times and now you've done it for the 8th time. No. Ever happened to anybody? Pride is one of the most dangerous things in your marriage. Let me just tell you something. Just because you know the Bible does not mean you're doing it. You can sit in a living church and still not forgive somebody. You can come to church and still have bitterness in your heart. That's what pride will do. Pride will make you come to church and sing all the songs. Jesus, I love you. Pride will even let you stand here and say, Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. But I'm angry with you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit. That's what pride will do to you. And God looks right into your heart. How do I know that? Lucifer. Go read Isaiah 6 verse 1. He sees heaven. God's glory filling everything. Angels are singing, holy, holy, holy. It's there where Lucifer was walking and thinking, I'm going to be God. And guess what happened? He got kicked out. Because where mercy is, pride cannot dwell there. Pride gets kicked out. That's why when you have pride in your heart, you cannot draw close to God. You can pray the prayers. You can do the prayer points. But the connection needs to be from here. The ark, my wife said in the beginning, is made of wood, acacia wood, which represents man. But then it's covered with gold on the outside and gold on the inside. Glory on the inside, glory on the outside. Can I tell you something? When there's glory on the inside, gold, the reflection of God, it should start reflecting on the outside. Jesus said, they draw near with their mouths. Outside they show glory, but on the inside there's nothing. What's on the inside should be on the outside. Paul actually says, husbands, listen to this scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7, the second. Since he is the image and glory of God. He's talking about man. You are made in the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. So let me tell you something. You know how it works. It's very easy. When you do a house visit and you meet a couple giving you some inside information, as the pastor, you greet the husband and you say, how's the two of you doing? But you don't look at the man. The man will say, we're fine, we're good. There's glory. Everything is fine. We're perfect. But you don't look at the man. You look at the woman. She's the glory. She's either reflecting glory or she's in her glory. But you'll see it very quickly. Amen.
You know, when you fall in love and you speak to young people, if they'll come to you and they'll say, oh, he's so cute. He even finishes my sentences. We think the same. We say the same thing.
That's right.
It's just we finish each other's sentences. It's like we were made for each other. A couple of years later, they say, he interrupts me all the time.
That's when that heart gets a bit hard. Then it's not, oh, look how she's finishing the sentences. Why are you always interrupting me? So we're going to, let's see if we can close. Amen. I'm sure we can go on for another hour. But I married this beautiful woman 32 years ago by the grace of God. Is there a picture up there?
Young, very young.
Young and beautiful, and she's still beautiful.
And
amen.
Your mother is behind us throwing flowers on our head. Do you notice that?
Yeah, that's my mom.
My beautiful mother in grace on the left. Yeah, she was in the back of the picture there. Amen. She was just covering us with grace and mercy for the years ahead.
Let me just say, we've made many, many mistakes. In 32 years, we've made many, many mistakes.
So many.
You know, when I got saved, I actually for a long time thought that stubbornness is a good characteristic of any Christian. That's what pride will do. It will deceive your heart. Until I read what the Bible said about stubbornness. So thank God for my wife that had a lot of mercy towards me. But we've made a lot of mistakes. But by the grace of God, we've always kept Jesus at the top and have run to him. So even our children have seen us sometimes not quite looking at the mercy seat, but looking at each other, you know. But we've always gone and said sorry. And when I've said sorry to her and I had a disagreement, if it was between closed doors, private sin, private confession. So if it's just something that was between the two of us, we made right. But if it was sometimes, you know, you, like my wife says, you become scratchy in front of the children. Well, that only happens to pastors. But when I was scratchy in front of the children, I would say first sorry to God. I would say sorry to her, and then I would go to my children and say, Hope and Jaden, please forgive me. What I said or how I behaved was not right. Please forgive me as well. To show them that a father can also make a mistake, but a father can come and say sorry. A father can go to the mercy seat and change his focus from staring and glaring at each other, staring her down, to eyes on the mercy seat, that God's presence can be there. And there can be unity again. Amen. So, this is not scripture. This is not scripture. But this is what we found that's worked for us. Are you ready for this? Soft heart, thick skin.
This is a Bernard and Belinda.
Sometimes we are so oversensitive and we overthink things so much that we upset the whole time. So sometimes just have a thick skin. Sometimes they just didn't hear you. Sometimes they just don't understand you. Sometimes we don't understand them. Amen? So let me hear you say thick skin.
Thick skin.
Soft heart.
Soft heart.
So don't turn it around. Some people have soft skin, hard heart.
Hearts.
No, you're going to be upset the whole time. Everybody is going to upset you the whole time. Amen? Do you know when your heart, how do you know when your heart is upset? Do you know when your heart is offended? Do you know how you know there's some bitterness in your heart? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 12, I think it's verse 15, it says, be careful lest you fall short of the grace of God, and a root of bitterness springs up, by which many become defiled. So if I'm defiling her the whole time, every time I see my mother in grace, I say, that daughter of yours again, and I'm vomiting. Or I get to work and all I can talk about, my wife again upset me, It's not you venting. It's you confessing your weakness that you're bitter.
I know.
Because if there's bitterness in your heart, you'll defile the person. That's scripture. So if you are always speaking bad about people, go check your heart. You might be bitter towards them. If you're bitter, you're in serious trouble. Because it's offense, resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness. The next step is hatred, where you'll start to hate a person. Hatred in the heart, the Bible says, is murder. It's usually here where relationships completely just break down and you just want to get away from them. But it's a heart issue because you became bitter.
Amen. Marriage is not two perfect people. It's two people that forgive really well.
That's right.
You want a great marriage? Become a great forgiver. Because I promise you, you are going to have times where you're going to have to forgive over and over again. And you know what? When you say you've forgiven enough, Jesus can say to you, you know what? I've forgiven you enough. Because Jesus forgives us for the same thing over and over and over again. I want to encourage you, become a great forgiver. And you know what? Sometimes you push your heart in that direction. We didn't get angels singing to us many times when we had to go say sorry to each other. Sometimes it was putting down the flesh, and the flesh was screaming. Because you know what? We try to keep all the rules of marriage where we say, we never say never because it's never. We never say always because it's not always. And sometimes when we engage, never and always creeps in. And that just escalates everything over and over again. So I want to tell you, keep your heart soft. Look towards the mercy seat. Be the hero. We always see who's going to be the hero first.
Amen.
Because the hero is the one that looks
Can I just throw this in for free? We also have one rule between the two of us, and that is we stay away from each other's red button. Do you know what I'm talking about? Who of you know what's your red button? The red button is not that thing that gets you angry in half an hour. It's that thing that gets you angry in 3 seconds. You know, if I touch her red button, it's going to be a nuclear war. It's a... And if she touches my red... So we've now dealt with our red buttons. They're not there. They're now pink. You know, they're not red anymore. But they're still there. You know what I'm talking... Stay away from the red button. Amen.
Amen.
So sometimes we'll just give each other the look of grace. Don't go there. Just don't touch that red button. Amen.
We just give each other a look and look down.
Yes. I'm going to close with this. You know, when I marry people, I say to them at the end, I always say to them, I said, you're probably not going to remember everything that I said. And don't feel bad or guilty that you don't remember the sermon. But I want to tell you, if you remember this one thing, I guarantee you that you will have a happy marriage. If you can do this, and you can apply it, if you can do this, you'll be able to get along with your family. They obviously have their part to play as well, but I say to them, if you as a couple here remember this one thing, I guarantee you, you'll have a happy marriage. What's that, my wife?
Keep your heart soft.
That's right. If you do the heart test every day as a husband, as a wife, and ask yourself, is my heart still as soft as it was the day I got married? If you can do that and keep it like that, it's going to be like that. The hero in a marriage is the one who can show mercy. The one who said, I'm not going to run away, I'm going to run to God and let's touch. And maybe you sit here today and you think, yes, we've been running away from each other so much. We don't know where the angels are. We'll have to fly towards each other. Just start taking that one step towards the mercy seat. Moving closer and closer and closer. Sila.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ. Loving God, loving people.